Learning from the school of life. The meaning of school, according to the dictionary and according to the popular meaning given to the word, is a social institution of learning. The term is used mainly as an institution for education of children. That is the most common meaning given. But it also has further connotations. Any community of people consisting of pupils and teachers situated in a place with the object of learning can be considered a school. Any discipline or pursuit of a particular doctrine by a group of people in a place also can be called a school. For instance, School of Economics. There is Delhi School of Economics, there is London School of Economics. The School of Music behind Bangalore School of Music for Western classical music. School of Arts. There is people who pursue a particular doctrine or discipline or art. It's also a school. There is another meaning to school. Anyone who has subscribed to a particular doctrine or a discipline, we say he has been schooled into such and such a discipline or such and such a school of thought. So these are the meaning of the school. So taking into consideration the most common meaning, that is the institution of learning and education of children, if we take this for our consideration now, we see how without this education, without this teaching children and children learning, their faculties cannot develop. School, institution of school may be a formal institution, a social institution in which number of pupils learn, or it can also be a very informal school, no definite place is ascribed. It can be homeschooling also. Now today, many parents who do not believe in the mainstream school education, who think that it is full of defects and mainstream school education do not meet the true aims of education, they do homeschooling. And it's quite popular in USA and it is gaining a lot of currency in India also, homeschooling. See, to state it briefly, it is an institution of learning and education of children. Now, the primary education and then the secondary education and then the high school education. The children are sent to primary schools. There they learn to sing and learn through by in playing, and they learn to use their motor and the organs of knowledge and organs of action in creative work, coordinate their motor and other one is
sensory
organs. They learn to coordinate and create works of art, and you know their, and then the formal reading, writing, arithmetic, all this they learn, and the latent intelligence in the children flowers out due to this you know, process of learning from qualified teachers. The latent potentialities in children also begin to flower out. And when they move from primary to secondary, then they begin to learn, their field of learning, the area of learning enlarges. They begin to learn the rudiments of science, the rudiments of other humanities like civics and so on and so forth, and languages, literature, in a very elementary way. And then when they go into the high school, still the field of learning enlarges further, and they begin to learn more of science, more of arts and humanities, and then they also begin to experiment in the laboratories and so on and so forth. And then the college education and graduation, post-graduation and so on, and the pupil, you know, their learning becomes, it takes on a wider base, and they begin to understand what life is, what nature is, and relationship between the individual and the life in general, the society, the social responsibilities, and all this they learn. So this is school learning. This is school learning. When the school learning, which we mean include the college and the university education also, so the student has acquired sufficient knowledge, skills in whatever field of specialization he has opted, and also a pretty good wide base of general knowledge. So he has acquired enough knowledge to enter into the practical affairs of life. When he passes out of the portals of the formal learning, institution of formal learning, he enters into another great school, the school of life. There, whatever he has learnt, he applies. Whatever he has gathered by way of knowledge, he applies in the practical affairs of life. Maybe he will take up his profession, whatever it may be, profession, or it may devote himself to a particular hobby or an art his heart is set. He may go into some technical, you know, technical field, or he may go into the teaching field, or he may take up profession in law, and so on and so forth. And then he begins to interact with the workplace where he has to work, interact with people, and then practical work, the theory he has learnt in the formal education, he begins to apply and learns from the practical application of what he has learnt. Now, many a thing that he had learnt, he enlarges in the practical application and experience that he gains. So, such a individual who grows by practical experience in life becomes wiser, gathers more knowledge, mainly through experience in the school of life. Now, such a person, because of his you know, growth in knowledge and wisdom, he is able to guide and teach others who are less qualified or still the process. That's why you will find in the medical profession, we have medical professionals here. It is the physicians and the surgeons and the specialists who have gone through the portals of medical education, but who have gathered a lot of experience in their field of medicine. They become very good teachers, mainly because of if you just apply what you have learned in the school, you cannot be a teacher. So you have to go through the trials and tests of a more stringent type of practical application of what you have learnt. And you become wiser and a man of more knowledge. And you know, they become good teachers also. Similarly, the profession of legal profession, one who is, you know, has gained experience in practice of law, he is the most eligible teacher of students who are still portals of learning in learning law. Similarly with all other professions like architecture, engineering and so on and so forth. The experience that one gains in the actual school of life is much more than what he learnt in the portals of school learning, which forms the basis, and he grows in knowledge and wisdom. And then not only the profession but also the individual has social contact. Maybe he or she selects a life partner, settles down in family life besides the professional life, and then their marital relations begins, and then interaction and interpersonal relationship with family and family members and wider circle of relatives and interpersonal relation, the peers and the elders and the juniors, young people, all this, you know, all this interaction and the mutual the experience that one gains, all this grows in knowledge and wisdom. Then many mistakes are made, and these mistakes bring trouble, and then the individual learns from those mistakes and then tries to avoid them and grows wiser. This is, we have all seen, you know, we have all been going through this. Now, then, you know, the individual in practical affairs of life, going through the school of life, meets many disappointments. He also tastes success and brings happiness, and meets disappointments, and then sorrows come. You know, whatever object in life we pursue, many a time we don't accomplish the objects our heart was set on, and then disappointment comes. We have examples right here. Some students had an plan, an idea of making a career somewhere, but it didn't materialize. So disappointment comes in. Now, this is where wisdom comes. Now, how do we take these disappointments? How do we take it? Now, many an individual, when disappointment comes, he gets demoralized. He takes upon takes a very negative stance, and then creates problems in his own life. We have seen this happening. While others takes a disappointment in its stride and then overcome them. And they grow in wisdom. So they will be able to guide people who are less experienced in life, you know, avoiding mistakes, doing the right thing at the right time, and all this, they will be able to guide the young people who look upon to the elders. They become teachers in a way because of their vast wisdom they have gathered in life. By the time the individual reaches middle ages, he would have gained very good, you know, he would have accumulated, he would have assimilated experience and knowledge and wisdom so as to be of help to others. And then we see that we cannot accomplish all our duties and responsibilities, and also the many things that we would like to do and you know, discharge our obligations. So we need guides, we need experts. It may be a legal expert, it may be a medical guide, it may be a tax consultant, and so on and so forth. We depend upon various others to guide us through this ocean of life. You know, the life of the world in which we are traversing is like an ocean sailing through. We require various guides to lead us through this difficult passage to our final destiny, whatever it may be, the goal in life that we have decided upon. And then comes, you know, there are many things in life which the school learning will not, you know, come to our help. When we see that different disappointments and obstacles, challenges come to our life, and then when we see terrible misery and poverty and you know, injustice, then maybe individuals begin to think, why? There, our formal school education, unless it is well really grounded in philosophy and arts, you will not have you know, equipped with enough knowledge and wisdom to deal, cope with such experiences. In professional life, one sees the jealousies and hatreds you know, unjust getting priorities and the really just and meritorious being neglected. All this, it brings a lot of pain, a lot of disappointments. And then when we see real profligates and evil people in good places, good position, and really deserving, one begins to wonder why this happens. Is there any meaning in life? But now, when you go to school education or college education, you will find no answers to this. You will not find any answers to this. And if you turn to religion, formal religion, again, you will find this is a will of God. That does not make any sense at all. How can it be a will of God? Is God partial? Put someone in difficulty and others less you know, deserving in a position of privilege? So it doesn't make any sense. Some may accept it on blind faith, but to a thinking man, it doesn't make any sense at all. So require another kind of wisdom, higher wisdom. So when you go through this life and come to the end of life, we find that all the learning that we had, teachers that we had, the guide that we have been consulting, at the door of death, they bid you, there the ends. And you have a long journey on the other side of life. Who is to guide you? That's why Buddha beautifully says here, I'll tell you a beautiful verse. Your life has drawn to a close. You are approaching the king of death, Yama. There is no rest house on the way. And you have made no provision for the journey. So this is the condition. So the person is without a guide. He says, who knows what happens after death? And is there any journey at all? If there is a journey, what it is? What are the guideposts? What are the signposts? Now, all your worldly wisdom and knowledge that you have gained fail. So we require another broader, wider vision of to give us an insight into the larger concerns of life, which goes beyond mere personal life. In Theosophy, when we say personal self, personal life, it is called world. When the Theosophy says world, world means personality. So we require a larger wisdom, a wisdom based on a perception of larger concern of life, which embraces the whole. Life and death are part of the larger life, and that knowledge is wisdom, true wisdom. And without that, the mere worldly wisdom that we have gained, the lower wisdom will not help us. It has its place in the journey of the mortal man through the life's course. It is very important, but that alone is not enough. That cannot provide us any basis for our larger concerns and a greater goal and the object, higher object for which we have come, then it does not serve any purpose at all. Unless we acquire that larger vision of life and the wisdom of that larger life, our life will become mere waste. Again, how nicely Buddha says of that, if you don't acquire that, the wisdom, the true spiritual wisdom in life, during life, then we'll be like this. He says, a man who has learned but little is not the worldly wisdom he's speaking of, the true wisdom. A man who has learned but little grows old like an ox. His flesh increases, but his knowledge does not grow. That will be the condition. And again, so important it is. So important it is. You know, it is very common when young people take to reading Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads and all, the parents get worried. They say, oh no, this is all for old age, only for retirement. So the greatest harm the elders will be doing, because they themselves have become like old oxes. The flesh has grown, they have not grown knowledge and wisdom. It is a most foolish thing ever can be found in life. And Buddha says, men who have not lived the disciplined life of a chaste mind, who have not gathered soul wealth in young age, pine away like old crane in a lake without fish. So that will be the condition. Fortunate, we see some young people who have come into Theosophy. Nothing could be more fortunate for them in life, because this is the true wisdom which will, besides the lower wisdom which will, in any case, with which we will be able to navigate through this jungle of life, a sea of life, but the larger wisdom and knowledge that you are acquiring will stand you in good stead in your great journey, without which life will be meaningless. Now, look what Saint James says about these two kinds of wisdom. This is from Gospel of Saint James, chapter 3 and verses 15 and 17. He says, this wisdom, the worldly wisdom that we are speaking of, which we have learned in the schools and universities, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual and devilish. All that we have acquired in universities and colleges is devilish. Is it not so? What are we doing with all our learning? Exploiting others? Devilish wisdom. Right? Devilish wisdom. And for where envying and strife, is not our whole school learning and college learning envying and strife? And professional life is our envying and strife? And all our political and social life envying and strife? So this is what we have learned in the schools and the universities? So that's why St. James called it as devilish wisdom. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where everything, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That is a tragedy. This earthly wisdom, without being illuminated by higher spiritual wisdom, is nothing but devilish. And it is full of confusion and every evil work. And there is a problem with our society and the world, full of evil. Now there is another wisdom which we have to acquire in the larger school of life. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. This is the true wisdom. And this true wisdom we have to acquire the school of life. Now, how do we acquire this wisdom in the school of life? How do we do it? Universities do not give us. Our institutionalized religions do not give us. They give us something, but distortion of the true wisdom. So the voice of the silence says, mind, our lower brain mind, is the balancing principle. In the human principles, mind is the fourth. Three material. Mind is the balancing point in the center, in the middle. It can either go up to the higher triad or get absorbed in the lower triad, which is karma and the body and the astral, get absorbed in it. Or it may. So what enables you or individual to make a difference between the two is ideas, thoughts. You require universal ideas. It's only through universal ideas, dwelling upon the eternal verities, that you give the mind the right direction and to aspire towards higher wisdom, towards higher meaning of life. Unless and until we acquire that light of wisdom, the life experiences become devoid of meaning. It's only when you acquire higher wisdom that every event in your life, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, whether it is painful or pleasurable, whether it is good or evil, you learn from it. Without that higher light, no. We attribute the experience that come to us to wrong causes and make our decisions and action based on wrong understanding and get into more problems. This is where learning in the school of life comes only when you acquire the true wisdom. So mind, the voice of the silence says, requires breadth and depth and points to draw it towards a diamond soul. Our school education, university education, give to some extent the breadth and also to a little extent some depth. But they do not contain the points that draw the mind towards the diamond soul. You require for that higher wisdom. You have to search for the universal ideas, eternal verities. So seek for those points, not in the Maya's realm, not in the college books and technological and medical books. You will not find it there. Nor in the economics and sociology and all that. You will not find it there. You have to search in the eternal and the changeless Sat, mistrusting fancies, false suggestions. So the great teachers in the great school of life, just as in the formal schools of life there are pupils and the teachers, in the great school of life also the pupils and the teachers, who are the pupils? The souls are the pupils. When we say human being, when we say it's not the body, it's a soul. Human being is a soul, eternal pilgrim. He's a pupil. And the souls have grown into the full evolutionary development of perfection. They are who are the teachers. The great souls are the teachers in the great school of life, in which we souls are gaining experience and taking their guidance and learning and evolving. Now, what are the points that draw the mind to the, towards the diamond soul? Briefly, we may say there are few important points. First and foremost is universal brotherhood. First and foremost, we must understand divinity. We are not mere creatures of a day. We are not mere personalities. We are beginning our career in the cradle and end our life in the grave. That is not, that's only the material part of man, the transitory, the material part of man. The real inner man has subtler vehicles, and in the subtler vehicles, a thinker, the eternal thinker, works, lives and thinks and gains experiences through these instruments. He is without birth, without death. He is a portion of the universal mind, the thinker, that soul we are, higher ego. What we call the mind is a reflection of that, which goes through the formal school of life, is a lower mind. So the mind requires points to draw it towards its higher divine parent. And the first foremost point that should be borne in mind is that we are not creatures of a day, we are eternal thinkers, eternal egos, I am I. This is to be understood, this is to be admitted. So if you have well grounded in this awareness, then we know that we'll begin to see everyone in that light of divinity, latent divinity. The latent divinity in us, in everyone, in everything. And then comes the universal brotherhood. If the true self is eternal, then it is universal. So if my eternal higher consciousness is universal, so is yours, so is his, so is everyone else's. So, the sense of separateness that we see is appearance, but in reality, on the plane of the true self, there is oneness. So this awareness of universal brotherhood, this is a second point to be dwelt upon. This we do not, our formal education do not teach us this. Do not teach us this. It teaches only devilish wisdom, as St. James says, but which is required for the journey of the personality through the jungle of life. And then, if we all same source, spiritual and physical essence, we are made of the same universal essence, which is uncreate, then we live in each other. We live and breathe it all, as all that are perceived breathes in thee, as the voice of the silence says. So this awareness, not mere repetition of words, as we dwell upon it, awareness. And if that is so, then my action has a very profound impact on others and the world as a whole. And since all have come from the one source, and they are interconnected, interdependent, there is also the word law, which is universal harmony, justice, absolute justice, such that every action that I do which impacts on others, reaction follows. And the law or law of justice, which is the law of our own higher and true self and being, brings about the exact and just results of my action. If my actions have been harming and hurting others, invariably it creates a disharmony in the universal harmony of life, and there's a tendency, incessant and unvarying tendency in the universe to set right that imbalance, and the imbalance can only be set right through the individual from whom the disturbance proceeded, and he feels the return of the disturbance that he caused as pleasure or pain according as his actions were good or ill. So responsibility. And then reincarnation. We are not here for this just one life. Our personality, to which we give so much importance, is only a product of the effect produced by our past actions, which produced our personality. It is made up of the five attributes which we have, by our own thought and action, created this. So, assumption of responsibility. And our actions have effect on society, for the good or ill. And it brings about a reaction on us and on the society as well. So, these thoughts give us these points of, you know, which draw the mind towards the divine soul, to be built upon and applied in life, and whole life to be guided by this understanding of this verities of the nature of the true self, the nature of the true nature of the world, and our relationship with it, with our fellow men. This is the true wisdom, larger concerns of knowledge of the larger concerns of life, in which, you know, we have that egoic perspective. Then we have egoic perspective. Today we have what? The personal perspective. Only this limited personal life. You transcend that egoic perspective. The reincarnating eternal ego has passed through numerous, countless reincarnations in the past and gathered experiences in various civilizations in the past, and it has a future towards its perfection. And the egoic perspective takes into its sweep ages upon ages, not mere one life. So your concerns and your field of thought and concern and interests will transcend mere personal life and begin to have take into account your obligations and duties to your fellow men, to humanity, to those who are poorer and less fortunate than yourself. So your whole life takes on a higher meaning, a higher purpose than mere personal achievements or personal goals. So this is learning in the school of life. And then we'll see how law works, and when disappointments and obstacles and difficulties come in our way, then we know that it is not, no one is responsible for it, we ourselves are responsible for it. We will not be, you know, become cowards, try to escape the responsibility, but face it. Overcome it. First of all, acceptance of responsibility for the miseries and difficulties and pain that come to us. I myself desired it. That is wisdom. And then we see here in the world today, in our society, there is so much of hatred. One community hating another community. individual jealousies, recriminations, and then vengeance. All this is because of absence of the light of higher wisdom. When you have the light of higher wisdom, in the light of this fourth principle that we discussed just now, we'll see that hurt come to us from any source, any person or any agency. That agency or that person is not responsible. We ourselves are responsible for it. The hand that smites me is my own, not any other. So, what happens? The question of revenge doesn't arise. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. So, when we go through life in this manner of charity, of forgiveness, unrevengefulness, absence of anger, then the whole nature undergoes change and become more and more porous, more and more amenable to the light from the higher self, which begins to shine and guide us in life, the true beacon of light. So I think let's stop here and some few points were taken up as a seed thought to understand the how life is actually a school of learning. So we can take up questions and we can engage ourselves in discussions for next 15 minutes.